Psalm 91 is one of the most powerful and comforting chapters in the Bible. Known for its promises of protection, peace, and divine shelter, it has been a source of strength for believers throughout centuries. This psalm speaks to the human heart in times of trouble, offering hope and assurance that God is with us, no matter how dire the circumstances may seem. At its core, Psalm 91 is about trust. Trust in God's protection and in His ability to keep us safe, whether we face visible dangers or unseen threats. This psalm isn't just about physical protection. It also speaks to spiritual and emotional safety. It's a reminder that in every battle we face, whether it's fear, doubt, illness, or conflict, God is our refuge. Before we dive into the detailed explanation of each verse, let's begin by reading the psalm in its entirety. For those unfamiliar with it, the prayer of Psalm 91 is as follows. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91 is often called the Psalm of Protection, and for good reason. The imagery is powerful. God is described as a refuge, a fortress, and a protector who shelters us under his wings. It paints a comforting picture of divine guardianship, both personal and strong. The idea that God sends His angels to watch over us and protects us from disease or danger speaks to the fears we all face. Whether it's illness, war, or hardship, Psalm 91 gives us hope that we're never alone in tough times. One key word in these verses is dwelling or abiding. It doesn't mean just checking in with God when things go wrong. It's about a continuous, committed relationship with Him. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High means to make God your home, not just an occasional stop. It's a daily choice to seek His guidance, trust His power, and rest in His promises. This deep connection is what allows someone to experience the full depth of His protection. But let's be clear. Psalm 91 isn't saying we'll never face troubles. We live in a world full of challenges, illness, and danger. The psalm doesn't promise a problem-free life. Instead, it emphasizes that when we do face tough times, God is with us, guiding and protecting us, giving us strength to get through it all. Each verse in Psalm 91 offers a different insight into God's protection. It promises freedom from fear and declares that angels are sent to guard us. But this comfort, like our faith, grows with understanding. By carefully exploring each verse, we can get a clearer sense of what these promises really mean for us today. Before we dive into a deeper look at each verse, it helps to know a little about the background of this psalm. Many scholars think Moses wrote it, though some attribute it to David. Either way, its focus on protection and deliverance has made it a favorite for believers, especially during times of war, illness, or personal crisis. Psalm 91 has often been read aloud as a prayer of faith, calling on God's promises to protect His people from harm. This psalm also has a prophetic angle, pointing to Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of God's protection. In the New Testament, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted Psalm 91, 11-12, twisting the verses to challenge Jesus' trust in God. But Jesus knew the deeper meaning, that God's protection isn't something to be tested for selfish reasons, but to be trusted through faith. As we begin to walk through Psalm 91 verse by verse, keep in mind that these are more than just beautiful words. They are promises from a God who loves us and wants to protect us, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This psalm invites us to come closer to God, to trust Him completely, and to make Him our true home. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 kicks off with a powerful statement about the protection that comes from staying close to God. The key word here is dwells. This isn't about just dropping by when things get tough. It's about making God your permanent home, living in constant connection with Him. The secret place refers to a deep intimacy with God, the space where we meet Him in prayer, worship, and trust. It's not a physical spot, but a spiritual place you reach through faith and surrender. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty is a striking image. Think about a shadow. It's a place of shade and protection from the heat or danger around you. In ancient times, being in someone's shadow meant you were under their care and protection. So when we stay close to God, we're shielded from harm, often in ways we don't even notice. His shadow is His protective covering over us. What the psalmist is really saying is that those who live in a close, ongoing relationship with God will experience His protection. This doesn't mean life will be free of problems, but it does mean that God will guard and watch over us. The term Almighty comes from the Hebrew word Shaddai, which highlights God's unmatched power and strength. It's a reminder that the One who protects us has the power to shield us from dangers we can't even see. In today's world, we're constantly bombarded with stress, whether it's about money, health, or just the fear of the unknown. It can feel overwhelming at times, but this verse reassures us that when we make God our home, we find rest and security. This kind of dwelling isn't passive. It takes effort on our part. We have to actively seek God, trust in Him, and stay connected through prayer and faith. In return, He promises to shelter us under His powerful shadow, offering comfort and strength no matter what we face. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. This verse is a declaration of faith. It opens with the psalmist speaking boldly about God. I will say of the Lord isn't just a quiet thought or a fleeting feeling. It's a confident statement that comes from deep personal trust and experience. The psalmist is proclaiming who God is to them, and through that teaching us how to respond to God in our times of need. The words refuge and fortress are key images here. A refuge is a place of safety, somewhere to escape the storm. Back then, it could have been a cave or a hidden spot where someone could avoid danger. It symbolizes a place where we're protected from harm, whether that harm is physical, emotional, or spiritual. A fortress takes it up a notch. A fortress isn't just a place to hide. It's a stronghold, a well-defended, impenetrable position. By calling God a fortress, the psalmist is saying that God is not just a temporary escape, but a permanent, unshakable source of protection. A fortress stands firm no matter what attacks come its way, reminding us that when we trust in God, we're secure no matter what life throws at us. The line, "My God, in Him I will trust," is the heart of this verse. Trust is essential in our relationship with God. It's one thing to believe in God's existence. It's another to fully trust Him, especially when fear or uncertainty creeps in. Trust means depending on God's character and promises, even when we don't fully get His ways or see immediate answers. It's a personal, active faith that leads us to place our lives in His hands, believing He'll take care of us. This verse is powerful because it shows trust as a choice. The psalmist chooses to trust God despite the dangers around him, and that's something we can relate to. Every day, we face moments where we can either rely on our own strength and understanding or lean on God's wisdom and power. By declaring, "He is my refuge and my fortress," we are affirming our faith and stepping into the protection only God can offer. In a world full of uncertainties, this verse encourages us to remember that God is both our refuge, where we find peace, and our fortress, where we find strength. When we choose to trust in Him, we can face life's challenges confidently, knowing we are guarded by His love and power. Verse 3, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In this verse, the psalmist speaks about God's promise to protect his people from danger. The snare of the fowler refers to a trap set by a hunter to catch birds. It's a metaphor for the hidden traps and schemes we might stumble into in life. Just like a bird can unknowingly get caught in a trap, we also face dangers we don't always see coming, whether it's temptation, harmful influences, or unexpected challenges. But the verse reassures us that God sees these dangers before we do and can rescue us from them. The second part, from the perilous pestilence, touches on another fear, sickness and plague. In ancient times, disease could be uncontrollable and deadly, just like modern pandemics. Pestilence here symbolizes not just illness, but any widespread disaster or suffering. This promise reminds us that God has power over even the most frightening, uncontrollable situations. Whether it's sickness, financial struggles, or any large-scale crisis, this verse encourages us to trust in God's ability to rescue us from them. It's important to note that deliverance doesn't always mean being completely shielded from hardship. Sometimes God removes the danger, and other times He gives us the strength to get through it. Either way, we're never left to face these threats alone. This verse is comforting because it reminds us that God is actively working to protect us, even from dangers we may not be aware of. Verse 4. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Verse 4 gives us a powerful image of God as a bird, covering us with His feathers and offering protection under His wings. This metaphor shows the tenderness and care of God, like a mother bird shielding her young from harm. The picture of being covered with feathers brings to mind warmth, security, and being close to God. It paints a picture of God's protection as gentle and nurturing, wrapping us in His love when we're scared or uncertain. Under His wings you shall take refuge builds on that image, showing that when we stay close to God, we're safe from harm. Just as a baby bird finds shelter under its mother's wings, we're invited to trust and depend on God. This protection isn't distant or cold. It's close, personal, and full of love, showing us that God's care surrounds us in every moment. The second part of the verse says, His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Here, God's truth is compared to two types of armor: a shield, which is large and protects the whole body from attacks, and a buckler, a smaller shield used in close combat. Together, these images show that God's truth protects us from all kinds of dangers, both the big, overwhelming threats and the smaller personal struggles we deal with up close. God's truth refers to His word, His promises, and His faithfulness. When we rely on God's truth, we're protected from lies, deception, and attacks on our faith. His truth strengthens our hearts and minds, helping us stand firm when doubts or fears try to take over. It's also our defense against life's challenges and temptations, reminding us that God's promises never change and are always reliable. In short, this verse shows that God's protection is both tender and strong. He lovingly shelters us, while also giving us the truth we need to stand firm against any danger. When we stay close to Him, we find both comfort and strength, knowing we're safe under His wings and protected by His unshakable truth. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. In this verse, the psalmist addresses the deep fears that many of us face, whether they come in the quiet of night or in the hustle of the day. The message is clear. When we trust in God's protection, we don't have to live in fear of these dangers. The terror by night refers to the fears that often creep up in the dark. Back in ancient times, night was seen as a time of mystery and vulnerability, because it was harder to defend against threats you couldn't see. Today, night terrors can symbolize our inner anxieties, fears of the unknown, or emotional struggles that seem bigger when we're alone in the dark. Whether it's literal danger or our own worries and insecurities, this verse reassures us that we don't need to be afraid, because God is with us even when we feel most vulnerable. The second part of the verse, "Nor of the arrow that flies by day," speaks to the more visible dangers we encounter. In biblical times, arrows were used in battle and could strike suddenly. While we don't face literal arrows today, they represent sudden, unexpected challenges that come our way. Accidents, conflicts, attacks on our character, or even issues at work or home. These are the threats we face out in the open, but the psalmist still tells us there's no need to fear. The beauty of this verse lies in its promise of protection from both the hidden fears of the night and the visible dangers of the day. God's protection covers every part of our lives, no matter when or where the threat comes from. Fear can feel overwhelming at times, but this verse offers a comforting reminder. God's presence is constant, and His protection is total. When we make Him our refuge, we can feel safe from the terror that sneaks up in the night and the arrows that fly in the day. This doesn't mean we'll never face challenges or danger, but it does mean we don't have to live in fear. When fear starts to take over, we can come back to this verse and remember that with God as our shield, we have nothing to fear. Verse 6. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. This verse continues the theme of protection from both visible and hidden dangers, focusing on two specific threats, pestilence and destruction. The first part, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, talks about the fear of disease, especially those that spread quietly and unseen. Pestilence refers to any kind of widespread illness, and that walks in darkness highlights how these dangers can sneak up on us, much like threats that strike at night. Whether it's a physical illness like a plague or pandemic, or even something more symbolic like moral decay or corruption that slowly creeps into society, the fear comes from not seeing it coming. But the verse reassures us that God's protection covers even these hidden dangers. Just as He shields us from the fear of night, He also guards us from the unseen threats of disease or corruption. When we trust Him, we don't have to live in constant fear of what we can't control, because God sees everything we can't and stands ready to protect us. The second part, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday, refers to those obvious open disasters that happen in broad daylight. It could mean anything from natural disasters and wars to large-scale calamities that cause major destruction. Unlike the hidden pestilence, this destruction at noonday is clear and visible to everyone, like a battlefield or a city hit by disaster. Still, the psalmist encourages us not to fear. Whether the threat is quiet and hidden or loud and in your face, God's protection covers it all. No matter how the danger strikes, whether under the cover of darkness or in the full light of day, we can rest in the assurance that God is in control. His care and protection reach every corner of our lives, and there's no danger too big or too secret for Him to handle. This verse reminds us that God protects us from both the unseen threats, like disease or other invisible dangers, and the visible ones, like disasters or wars. Many people feel overwhelmed by fears of things they can't control, whether it's health crises, economic collapse, or major emergencies. Yet, Psalm 91:6 speaks directly to these fears, offering us the promise that God is greater than all of them. He is our shield, whether the danger is lurking in the shadows or right out in the open. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This verse gives us a powerful image of God's protection in the face of overwhelming danger. It's dramatic, thousands of people falling all around, but the person who trusts in God is spared from harm. Even when chaos seems to be taking over, this verse shows that God's protection is personal and specific. The phrase 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand hints at a large-scale disaster, like a battle or a plague where many people are in danger. The right hand often symbolizes strength and security, so even when people fall in this place of supposed safety, the danger feels overwhelming. Yet the psalmist tells us, "It shall not come near you." This is a strong reminder that no matter how bad things look, God's protection isn't weakened by the size or strength of the threat. Whether it's physical harm, emotional turmoil, or a spiritual battle, God's care can keep us safe, even in the worst situations. The personal nature of this protection really stands out. While thousands around you may face disaster, God's hand stays firmly on the one who trusts Him. It shows that God's care isn't just for everyone in general, it's for you specifically. He knows your needs and is committed to protecting you from dangers that may impact others. This brings comfort, especially when the world feels chaotic or overwhelming. No matter what's going on, God promises to be your refuge. One striking part of this verse is the contrast between what happens around you and what happens to you. The psalmist doesn't deny that bad things happen. There will be times when we see others struggling or falling into danger. But God's protection for his people is different. It shields us not just physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. Even when the world seems to be falling apart, God gives us the strength and peace to endure, knowing we're not left to face these dangers alone. This doesn't mean we're invincible or immune to suffering. It means God's protection preserves us through the trials. Even in the toughest circumstances, his promise is that he's near, watching over us. We might witness destruction or hardship, but God holds us securely in his hands. In today's world, this verse is a message of hope and resilience. Whether we're dealing with personal struggles, global threats, or fear of the unknown, we can trust God's protection. Even when everything seems bleak, his promise stands, "It shall not come near you." This encourages us to put our trust, not in ourselves or the circumstances around us, but in God's unshakable power and care. Verse 8, "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked." This verse shifts focus from personal protection to reflecting on justice. The psalmist now says that those who trust in God will witness God's judgment on the wicked, but they themselves won't be harmed. There's a clear line drawn between those who take refuge in God and those who reject him or live in wickedness. The phrase, "only with your eyes shall you look," suggests that the faithful will watch what happens to the wicked from a distance. They won't be caught up in the destruction or suffering, they'll just be observers. This reinforces the earlier promise that God's protection will shield them from the dangers others face. It's like they're standing on the sidelines, watching but not getting pulled into the chaos that strikes those who have chosen a path against God. The second part, "and see the reward of the wicked," points to the inevitable consequences of wickedness. The term reward is used ironically here. It's not something good, but the natural result of their actions. In the Bible, justice is clear. Those who continue in evil will face the consequences. So this reward refers to the judgment that comes upon the wicked because of their rebellion against God. For the faithful, this verse offers reassurance. Not only will they be spared from destruction, but they will also witness God's justice being served. It suggests that the wrongdoings that often seem to go unpunished will not be ignored by God. There will be a time of reckoning for the wicked, and though the righteous may see it, they won't be touched by it. On a broader scale, this verse reminds us that God sees everything, and his justice will eventually prevail. Even if it seems like the wicked are getting away with things for a while, their actions won't be overlooked. This is comforting for those who feel surrounded by injustice or see wrongdoing that appears to go unpunished. Believers can trust that God is paying attention, and in his time, he will bring justice. But this verse is also a warning. It stresses the importance of staying close to God, living according to his will, and not drifting into wickedness. The psalm makes it clear that the consequences are serious. While the righteous are protected, the wicked will face destruction. Verse 8 highlights the stark contrast between those who trust in God and those who reject him. While the faithful remain safe, they will witness God's justice unfold from a distance. It reassures us that God's protection is real and his judgment is certain, even if it seems delayed. Though the wicked might seem to thrive for a time, their reward will come, and it will be seen by all. Verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." This verse marks a key moment in Psalm 91, explaining why the promises of protection apply to the believer. The psalmist makes it clear that the safety and refuge described earlier don't happen automatically. They come from a specific choice, making God your dwelling place. The phrase, "because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place," is important. That word "because" shows us that all the protection, the freedom from fear, and the promise of safety come from this one decision, choosing to make the Lord your refuge. The blessings of protection flow from living close to God. The idea of making God your dwelling place is central here. It's more than just turning to him when things go wrong. It's about living in a constant relationship with him, staying with him, trusting him daily, and building your life around him. It's not a temporary fix, it's a permanent way of life. To dwell in God's presence means you're continually leaning on His guidance and strength. The psalmist also calls God the Most High, reminding us that God has supreme power and authority. He's not just a safe place to hide, He's the one who's above everything, above all dangers, fears, and enemies. When you make the Most High your home, you're putting yourself under the protection of the one who's in control of it all. There's no safer place to be. The psalmist also makes it personal by saying, "The Lord who is my refuge." They're speaking from experience, saying, "I've found safety in God, and you can too." It's not just an idea, it's real lived experience. The psalmist has personally experienced God's protection and is encouraging the reader to do the same. In our everyday lives, this verse pushes us to think about how we make God our dwelling place. Are we staying close to Him, trusting Him daily, not just when things get tough? Do we lean on Him as our refuge, no matter what's going on? This verse reminds us that experiencing God's protection and peace isn't about occasionally turning to Him. It's about constantly living in His presence. In short, verse 9 is a pivotal reminder that God's promises of protection are tied to our choice to make Him our dwelling place. When we stay close to Him, trusting Him fully, we can rest knowing He is our refuge. It's this daily connection with God that opens the door to the peace and security Psalm 91 talks about. Verse 10, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." This verse continues the promise of protection that comes from making God your dwelling place, just like in the previous verse. It reassures us that those who live closely with God are kept safe from evil and harm. The language is strong and absolute, "No evil, and nor shall any plague." This speaks to the complete nature of God's protection for those who trust in Him. The phrase, "no evil shall befall you," covers a wide range of fears: violence, disasters, misfortune, spiritual attacks, and anything else that could cause harm. It's a comforting reminder that when we stay in God's presence and make Him our refuge, we're shielded from the kind of evil that could overwhelm or take us away from God's plan. This doesn't mean life will be free of challenges, but it does mean that no evil can truly harm us when we're under God's care. Even if we face trials, our souls are safe with Him. The second part, "nor shall any plague come near your dwelling," highlights protection from widespread illnesses or disasters. In biblical times, plagues were devastating, often wiping out entire communities. This verse promises that those who take refuge in God are shielded from such large-scale calamities. While believers may still experience hardship or illness, the verse reassures us that God's protection is powerful and no harm can touch us unless it serves a greater purpose within God's will. The word "dwelling" ties back to the idea of making God your permanent home. The psalmist expands on this by promising that no plague or disaster will come near the place where you live when you're in constant relationship with God. This suggests that God's protection extends not just to you personally, but to your home, your family, and the people around you. When we trust God and make Him the center of our lives, His care surrounds everything we hold dear. This verse is especially comforting during times of uncertainty, whether it's a disease outbreak, natural disaster, or any widespread crisis. It reassures us that God's protection is thorough and that we don't have to live in fear. Whether the threat is something physical, like a plague, or something unseen, like spiritual attacks, God can shield us and keep us safe under His care. It's also important to see how this verse invites us to focus on God instead of letting fear take over. When we face threats to our health or safety, this verse encourages us to trust in God's protection rather than be consumed by worry or anxiety. It reminds us that while the world around us might be unstable, our true security lies in God's unchanging love and care. Verse 11, "For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways." This verse introduces a comforting idea. God commands His angels to watch over and protect those who trust Him. It deepens the sense of divine protection from earlier verses by showing that God actively sends His heavenly servants to guard us in every part of life. The phrase, "He shall give His angels charge over you," means that God assigns angels the specific job of protecting His people. In the Bible, angels often appear as messengers and protectors, carrying out God's will and making sure His people stay safe. This verse shows that God isn't distant or uninvolved. He actively sends his angels to look after us, giving them the responsibility of keeping us from harm. The word charge implies a direct command. The angels aren't acting on their own, they are following God's orders. This is comforting because it shows that the protection we receive isn't random or by chance. It's intentional. God personally sends his angels to guard us, which shows just how close and involved he is in our lives. The second part, to keep you in all your ways, emphasizes how complete this protection is. The word keep means to guard or watch over. And it's not limited to just certain situations. It's in all your ways, meaning every aspect of life. Whether we're at home, work, traveling, or dealing with personal struggles, this verse promises that God's angels are watching over us. This includes both physical protection and spiritual protection from temptations or attacks. What's important to remember is that this protection isn't just reactive, it's proactive. The angels are there to prevent danger and guide us away from harmful situations before they happen. They guard us wherever life takes us, showing God's constant care and attention. We're never left alone to face life's challenges without his help. However, this doesn't mean we won't face difficulties. The verse doesn't promise we'll be free from hardship, but that God's angels are always there, even in tough times, carrying out his will and making sure his purposes for our lives are fulfilled. We may not always see or understand how they protect us, but they are always at work. This verse is well known because Satan quoted it when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4:6. Satan tried to twist its meaning by telling Jesus to test God's protection by jumping off the temple. But Jesus knew God's protection is something to trust, not test. This reminds us that while we can rely on God's protection, we shouldn't act recklessly. We are called to trust his care and walk in obedience to his will. Verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This verse builds on the theme of angelic protection introduced in the previous verse, showing the personal care and attention of the angels assigned to guard those who trust in God. The imagery here paints a picture of divine protection that is both gentle and powerful. The phrase, "in their hands they shall bear you up," suggests that the angels are not just watching from a distance. They are actively supporting us, almost like carrying us through dangerous situations. It shows how God's protection extends to even the smallest details of our lives. Even when we aren't aware of the danger, the angels are there, holding us up and keeping harm at bay. This protection is hands-on, not passive. The angels are given the job of supporting us in ways that keep us from stumbling or falling into harm. It highlights how personal and attentive God's care is. Just like a parent might hold a child's hand to keep them from tripping, the angels are there to keep us steady and safe as we navigate life. The second part of the verse, "lest you dash your foot against a stone," refers to avoiding harm, both literally and symbolically. In ancient times, walking on rocky paths was common, and it was easy to trip. Here, the stone represents any obstacle or danger that could cause us to stumble. The promise is that the angels will help us avoid these dangers, whether they're physical or spiritual challenges. On a deeper level, the stone could also represent the difficulties we face in life. This verse reassures us that with God's protection, we won't be seriously harmed by these challenges. The angels are there to keep even minor setbacks from tripping us up, preventing us from being thrown off course by the obstacles that life puts in our way. God's care isn't just for the big, obvious threats. It extends to the small, everyday challenges too. This verse also highlights how deeply God cares about our well-being. Even something as small as stumbling over a stone matters to him. God assigns his angels to guard us, not just from major dangers, but from minor inconveniences, showing how complete his care is over every part of our lives. Like the previous verse, this one was quoted by Satan during Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, Matthew 4:6. Satan tried to twist this promise, tempting Jesus to throw himself from the temple and rely on the angels to save him. But Jesus responded by quoting scripture, reminding us that we should not test God's protection, Matthew 4:7. This teaches us a valuable lesson. While God's protection is real and powerful, it's not something we should test or take for granted. Instead, we're called to live in trust and obedience, knowing that God's angels are watching over us as we walk in His ways. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. This verse takes the idea of protection to a new level, showing that believers aren't just safe from harm, they also have the power to overcome dangerous threats. The language is bold and vivid, with both the lion and the cobra symbolizing major dangers, whether physical, spiritual, or emotional. The verse promises that those who trust in God won't just be protected from these dangers, but will actually triumph over them. The phrase, "you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra," speaks to walking confidently over some of the most feared creatures. The lion, known for its strength and aggression, represents overwhelming challenges or enemies that we face in life. The cobra, often associated with hidden dangers and deceit, symbolizes spiritual threats or temptations. In the Bible, the serpent is also linked to Satan and evil, like in the Garden of Eden. This verse assures us that no matter how big or hidden the dangers, whether they're as obvious as a lion or as sneaky as a cobra, believers have the power to tread upon them. The act of treading suggests complete control and victory. It means that what once seemed threatening is now beneath your feet. Through faith in God, we can overcome challenges that once seemed too great to handle. The second part of the verse, "the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot," reinforces this message. A young lion might be even more aggressive, representing challenges that feel immediate and intense. The serpent is mentioned again to emphasize that we can triumph over even the sneakiest dangers. The idea of trampling underfoot shows not just survival, but full conquest. This is a message of empowerment. It tells us that with God's protection, we aren't just safe, we are equipped to overcome whatever life throws our way. Whether these are physical dangers, emotional struggles, or spiritual battles, the verse gives us confidence that God gives us the strength to prevail. In a spiritual sense, this verse also points to victory over Satan and evil. The serpent often symbolizes Satan, and this verse echoes the promise that believers will have victory over him. Jesus, in the New Testament, gives his disciples authority over the enemy, saying, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy." Luke 10, verse 19. This verse from Psalm 91 speaks to that same assurance, that with God's strength, we can defeat evil and overcome spiritual challenges. It's important to remember that this promise doesn't mean believers won't face tough or dangerous situations. Lions and serpents may still come our way, representing life's challenges. But the message here is that, with God's help, we won't be overcome by them. Instead, we'll tread upon them, walking confidently in the victory God provides. Verse 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." In this verse, the speaker shifts from the psalmist to God himself, revealing his promises to those who love and trust him. It highlights the personal relationship between God and the believer, showing that his protection and deliverance come in response to the love and trust placed in him. The phrase, "because he has set his love upon me," is key. It explains the condition for God's promise, our love for him. To set our love on God means to choose him, to fully devote ourselves to him, and to place our deepest trust in him. This isn't passive, it's an active choice to make God the center of our lives. It's a love that grows from knowing who God is and staying committed to him through faith, worship, and obedience. This shows that God's protection is personal. It's not just about following rules, it's about building a deep, loving relationship with God. When we love him and make him our priority, he responds by offering us his deliverance. God's care is rooted in love, and he responds to that love with protection and salvation. The next part, "therefore I will deliver him," is God's promise to rescue those who love him. Deliver means to save or rescue from danger. This can be both physical and spiritual. Physically, God protects us from harm, as mentioned earlier in the psalm. Spiritually, his deliverance points to salvation, rescuing us from sin, death, and any spiritual threats we face. God's deliverance is not just temporary relief, but an eternal promise for those who trust in him. "I will set him on high" suggests safety and honor. To be set on high means to be lifted above danger, placed in a position of security where no harm can reach. It's a metaphor for God's protection, showing that those who love Him will be safe and honored. It also implies a closeness to God, as those who trust Him are brought near to His presence, away from harm. The final part, "because He has known my name," explains why God offers this protection. To know God's name means to have a close relationship with Him, recognizing His character, power, love, and faithfulness. In the Bible, a person's name represents their essence. Knowing God's name means understanding who He is, trusting in His promises, and depending on His faithfulness. This verse ties together love for God and knowledge of His name as the foundation for His protection. When we love God and truly know Him, when we understand His goodness and trust His care for us, He responds by delivering us and lifting us to a place of safety and honor. This also reminds us that God's promises are relational. They aren't automatic guarantees for anyone who calls on Him in desperation. They are promises for those who love Him and seek to know Him deeply. It reflects the two-way relationship between God and His people. He protects and delivers those who choose to love Him and trust in His character. Verse 14 is God's promise to those who love Him and trust His name. He promises deliverance, safety, and honor to those who have set their love on Him. This verse shows that God's care for us is deeply personal, rooted in the relationship we have with Him through love and understanding of who He is. Verse 15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." This verse expands on God's promises to those who love and trust Him, offering a personal assurance of His presence, attentiveness, and deliverance. It highlights how God faithfully responds to those who call upon Him and describes how He intervenes in the lives of His people. The verse starts with, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." This is a direct promise from God, reassuring us that when we call out to Him, He hears and responds. Calling on God shows a relationship built on dependence, trust, and faith. It acknowledges that we can't face life's challenges alone and need God's help. This promise reveals that God isn't distant or uninterested in our prayers. He's actively listening and ready to help those who seek Him. When God says, "I will answer him," it shows His commitment to being near and offering His assistance when we need it most. The next part, "I will be with him in trouble," adds an extra layer of comfort. God not only promises to answer us, but also to be with us during our hardest times. This assurance that God is present with us in trouble is incredibly powerful. It means that even when we're going through challenges, hardships, or dangers, we're not facing them alone. God's presence brings peace and strength, even in the toughest moments. Being with us doesn't always mean instant rescue, but it does mean we can go through hardships confidently, knowing God is by our side, offering guidance, comfort, and support. "I will deliver him," continues the promise of rescue. As in earlier verses, deliver means to save or rescue from harm. This deliverance could be physical, like protection from illness, danger, or persecution, but it also speaks to spiritual rescue, God's saving grace that frees us from sin and eternal separation. God's deliverance is complete, covering all the threats we face, whether seen or unseen, short-term or long-term. The verse ends with, "I will honor him." This shows God's favor toward those who love and trust him. To honor someone means to lift them up, show respect, and give them dignity. Here, God promises not only to rescue us, but to elevate and honor us for our faithfulness. This honor might appear in various forms: restoration after trials, blessings, or spiritual rewards. It's also a promise for eternity, where God will honor his people for their faith and perseverance, rewarding them for trusting in him. This phrase shows God's deep care for his people. It's not just about delivering us from trouble. He also honors us, showing that we are valuable to him and that our faith is important. Verse 15 includes four key promises from God. He will answer us when we call, he will be with us in trouble, he will deliver us, and he will honor us for our faith. These promises emphasize God's attentiveness, his desire to be with us in hard times, and his commitment to not only rescue, but to lift us up as his beloved children. This verse encourages us to call on God with confidence, knowing that he's listening, present, and ready to act on our behalf. Verse 16, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." This final verse of Psalm 91 wraps up with two powerful promises: long life and salvation. It's a fitting conclusion, summarizing the ultimate blessings that come from living in trust and love for God. Here, God speaks directly, offering not only protection from danger, but also the rewards of a long, fulfilling life and the gift of salvation. The first part, "With long life I will satisfy him," promises both longevity and fulfillment. In biblical times, living a long life was seen as a sign of God's favor and blessing. It wasn't just about living for many years. It was about living a life filled with peace, purpose, and contentment. The word "satisfy" makes it clear that this isn't just about how long you live, but about the quality of that life. It's a life that's rich and deeply satisfying, filled with God's protection and provision. This promise can be understood in both physical and spiritual terms. Physically, it speaks to God's protection throughout our lives, allowing us to live fully and enjoy His blessings. Spiritually, it points to the eternal life God promises to those who trust in Him. Even though earthly life has limits, believers are promised eternal life with God, a life that's satisfying beyond anything we can imagine here on earth. So it's not just about living longer, but living well, with the fullness of God's peace and favor. The second part, "And show him my salvation," points to the ultimate reward, God's salvation. This is the greatest gift God offers, covering both immediate deliverance from physical dangers and the eternal salvation of our souls. Throughout Psalm 91, God promises protection and care for those who trust in him, and here he ties it all together with the assurance of salvation. In the Bible, salvation means more than just safety. It's about the complete and eternal rescue of a person's soul. It's the promise of being saved from sin, death, and separation from God. For believers, this salvation is fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who offers eternal life. In Psalm 91, this verse reassures us that God's protection goes beyond this life and extends into eternity. Those who trust in him will experience his salvation, both now and forever. The promise to show his salvation highlights that salvation isn't just a distant or abstract idea. It's something real and personal. God actively reveals his salvation to us, allowing us to live in the assurance of his eternal care. This is the ultimate expression of his love. Not only does he keep us safe in this life, but he also offers us eternal life with him. Verse 16 encapsulates the final rewards for those who trust in God: a long, fulfilling life and the ultimate promise of salvation. It ties together all the promises of Psalm 91, reminding us that God's protection covers both our physical lives on earth and the eternal life he offers through salvation. It's a powerful assurance that God's care for us is not just for now, but forever, as he promises to satisfy us with his presence and show us his salvation. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for your unfailing love and constant protection. You are our refuge, our strong tower, and our strength in every season. Thank you for the promises in Psalm 91, reminding us that when we put our trust in you, we are sheltered under your wings and shielded from harm. Lord, we ask for your continued guidance and protection in our lives. Keep us safe from the dangers we can see and those we cannot. Let your presence fill us with peace and assurance, day and night. Help us to stand firm in our faith, knowing that you are our protector, delivering us from all fear and harm. Draw us closer to you, Lord. Help us seek you in everything we do, making you our dwelling place every day. Strengthen our hearts to trust you more, to walk in your truth, and to rest in the safety of your promises. Remind us that no matter the circumstances, you are always with us, and nothing is beyond your power. We lift up our families, communities, and our own hearts to you, asking for your protection, provision, and blessing. Show us your salvation in every area of our lives, and help us live in a way that honors you and reflects your love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you've been blessed by the promises of Psalm 91, I encourage you to deepen your relationship with God. Make him your dwelling place by spending time in prayer, reading his word, and trusting in his promises every day. Let the truth of this psalm take root in your heart, so that no matter what challenges or dangers come your way, you can walk confidently, knowing that God is with you. If you haven't experienced the fullness of God's salvation yet, now is the perfect time. Call upon him today. He is ready to answer, deliver, and show you his salvation. Don't wait. The promises of protection, deliverance, and eternal life are available to anyone who places their trust in Jesus Christ. Take that step of faith today and make the Lord your refuge and fortress. And finally, share the message of Psalm 91 with others. We live in a world full of fear and uncertainty, but God's word brings hope, peace, and assurance. Share this powerful psalm with someone who needs it and encourage them to find their security in the God who never fails.